Hello, and welcome to this half hour with Rallets Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallets, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or maybe you could come join us at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or maybe you could come join us at weekly on our Bible studies on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We are just a little country church looking to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to reach out to our community with a missionary heart that's sharing the love of that Christ that came and died for our sins. And I'm grateful to be able to speak to you this morning and hope you've been having a good week. I'd like to take just a moment, if I could, to wish happy birthday to a few special folks that are coming up over the course of next week. This Saturday, Saturday the 9th, Brother Tony Wilson will be celebrating a birthday. So if you see Brother Tony out, be sure and tell him hello. Also, Miss Tanya Bruton. Miss Tanya will be celebrating her birthday Sunday the 10th. Sunday the 10th. Also, Mr. Cody Pritchard will be next Thursday. I'll remind you of that one next Thursday. But those are the two birthdays over the course of next week. Tony Wilson on Saturday the 9th and Miss Tanya Bruton on Sunday the 10th. Also, happy anniversary to Ben and Angie Meredith on Tuesday the 12th. Ben is our Sunday school director here at Rallets, and his wife Angie, she's our VBS director, and she keeps the kids singing on Sunday mornings. I guess you'd call her the children's choir director, and just a wonderful couple. And I love these folks at Rallets so much, and I'll just about guarantee if you were to come and get involved here at Rallets, you would love them too. There are some wonderful, wonderful folks here. I've often said one of the things I like the most about Rallets Baptist Church is there's not one perfect individual in the whole group of them. Some of them might argue that, but I don't know. There's not one perfect group, one perfect person in the whole group, and guess what? Everybody knows that. And that makes it wonderful. That makes it wonderful. Really an atmosphere of forgiveness, an atmosphere of acceptance, and an atmosphere where the true nature of the Lord Jesus Christ is lifted up. I'll tell you folks today, you're going to get a lot of things thrown in your direction to tell you that that's what the goodness of God is or what the gospel of God is. But I like what John Piper says. John Piper said, some people say forgiveness makes the gospel good news. Others suggest that being saved from hell or gaining freedom from a guilty conscience makes it good news. But the Bible tells us the gospel is good news not because of its many peripheral blessings, but because it brings us to God and to utter delight in Him as our all-sufficient and everlasting treasure. Amen and amen. I thank God that He's God and I'm who I am. Aren't you glad you don't have the responsibilities that God has? Aren't you glad that you know there's a better man than you in charge? Aren't you glad to know that the ultimate plans and purposes of this entire universe are in the hands of an almighty, all-sufficient, all-compassionate, all-merciful, and yet sovereign God? I'm glad this morning to say that He chose me, that He looked down upon me where I was in my miry pit of clay, covered up with sin, and God chose me and pulled me out of there, and He put it within my heart that one day, through this process of being saved and sanctified, that one day I'll be glorified to His glory, to God's glory. I'm glad today to be able to say that I am a Christian. What a privilege. What an honor. What a blessing it is. I want to share with you, if I could, out of Psalm 84. Psalm 84 is my wife loves the Psalms. They are her favorite book of the Bible. She's just ecstatic over it, and I know why. You see, friends, the Psalms hold reality. They hold reality. They do not hide the truth. I think this is one of the things that speaks. It speaks volumes about the very truth of the Bible. The Bible has never attempted to hide from you the ugly side of man. If you and I were to write a holy book, if someone were to commission us to write a book about mankind and they want to show all the good things about mankind, we would in no way put anything negative in there. We'd never read about King David and his his problems he had with Bathsheba. We'd never read about Moses' stuttering problem. We'd have never read that Paul the Apostle was one time Saul of Tarsus. All those things, but there is the Bible. They put them out plainly. They show us the faults of man. Why? That God may be glorified through the shortcomings of the individuals that he has chosen, that God chooses these vessels of uncleanliness and wrath and these vessels of imperfection, that God's glory might be magnified and that God might show himself even more mightily to this old universe, to this whole world, might proclaim the goodness of God, because God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the wise. Aren't you glad to know that God did not choose you because you're super strong, or because you've got superpowers, or because you've got any ability above and beyond anything that's expected of you? No, 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 no. God chose you because you are who you are, and He knew that through your life and in His Spirit that He could be glorified, because He chose old rotten you to show His goodness through. Hallelujah, friends. Praise the Lord. I'm glad today to say that I'm a Christian. Psalm 84, if you would. I'll read through it. It's just 12 short verses. And then we'll go back and kind of look at these verses, okay? Psalm 84. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. I want you to, if I could just have an aside here just for a moment. I want you to feel what this psalmist feels when he's writing. We know in our Bible study, this is a psalm of the sons of Korah. Now, the sons of Korah were descendants of Levi through Kohath. And they were gatekeepers. And they were musicians in the temple at Jerusalem. These are the men that God inspired, used the Holy Spirit to write this psalm. So I want you to feel as they feel, okay, if you're able to, just for a few minutes with me this morning. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my God and my King. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you, Selah. Now, friends, if you're reading through the Psalms, you come upon that word Selah, the Bible is asking you to take just a moment and pause. It's asking you to take just a second and to allow the words of this wonderful hymn to penetrate your heart and take time to reflect it. Do you know what? You know where we come up short so often? We engage in worship with everything except our minds. And God has called us to worship Him with our minds. That's where the battlefield lies. That's where the great battles are taking place, in the mind. And so use your mind to worship God, not just the hand clapping or the shouting or whatever it is you may be used to in your worship services. Engage your mind and have it to reflect upon the mightiness of God, that God's mightiness might be displayed in your life, that He might gain glory from seeing you just interact in this world. Okay? Selah. Now verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in You. I would, if we could, just for a few moments longer, take a look at some of the things that we see in this psalm. First of all, I want you to notice these sons of Korah. Their souls were longing for an experience with the living God. They had a great desire to be in the house of worship. They had a great desire to be near to their God. I wonder today about folks, friends, who don't enjoy church. They tell me so often. I've had people testify to me, yes, I've been saved. Yes, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church anywhere. I don't worship anywhere. There's nothing you can do. I've heard, how many times you heard this, brother? There's nothing you can do there at that old church house. I can't do at home in my recliner. But I got news for you, friends. God's people, God's sheep want to be around other sheep. And innately, when a man has the Holy Spirit living inside him, that Holy Spirit begins to draw him unto others who are like-minded. You see, friends, you draw strength from those around you who have had the same experiences that you've had. We're able to help each other. We're able to edify one another. We're able to pick each other up when we're down. We're able to worship together. I'm telling you today that a man that's truly been born again will have a heart that desires to be around God. He'll have a heart that's desiring to see God moving in the hearts and the lives of other people. Friends, let me tell you today, if you have no desire whatsoever to be around God's people or to be in God's house, or to set aside a time of a week that you might be able to worship God, I wonder if you've ever met Him. I wonder if you've ever had an experience that I like to call being born again. And I didn't come up with that term. The Lord Jesus Christ did. When a man is born again, he's given everything that he needs in order to be a Christian in that very moment. But as a parent needs to teach a child, as we bring that little child up and we show him the ways of the world, so too should a church be there for a person that's been saved in order to edify them, in order to show them this is how Christians act, this is how we pray, this is how we worship. These are the things we do. They said, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Now that's very important. Not the false gods. And here are some false gods that maybe has never entered into your mind. Today people come to church and they're worshiping a false god of entertainment. The gospel has been buried and covered up with a bunch of junk that does not glorify God. We've got gospel singers out there that are seeking glory for themselves. We've got preachers that stand behind the pulpit and they can't wait to get done with the sermon so that somebody can tell them how good they did that day. We've got individuals who will stand up in church and ask for prayer requests and talk about how bad they got it so somebody else will come over and pat them on the back and say, brother, I'm sorry you've got it so bad. You're so strong to walk through this. I'm telling you right now, I've seen it right here at Rallets. We've got two or three ladies that have illnesses that would keep most people underneath the hospital, but they come to church every Sunday. They don't complain. They don't stand up and make a show of themselves. I'm not going to mention their name because they wouldn't want to be bragged on, but I'm telling you right now, there are people in this old world that are worshiping God through the pain and through the suffering and through the things that try to hold them back, and they never utter one word of it to nobody. They just keep on going. They just keep on walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're glorifying God because they're not allowing a physical infirmity to hold them back from the house of God. And there too many want to lay asleep in the mornings, those Sunday mornings or whenever it is they worship. I've got a little headache. I was out too late last night. Hey, brother, that excuse won't hold up when you stand before the King of Glory and He asks you, why did you not serve me with a fervent heart? Why? Why? And He'll say, Lord, Lord. And He'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Not the false gods. Living God. We serve a living God. Jehovah is not dead. Jesus is not in the tomb. And the Holy Spirit is not gone on vacation, brother. Every part of the Trinity is alive and well, and every one of them is still working in this world. And if you haven't seen it going on, brother, you need to open your eyes a little bit and take a look around, because our God is glorifying Himself in every part. And as I see people who come and they worship God, and I see how they delight in just the presence of God, God is gaining the maximum amount of glory from that individual, because they're delighting in the presence of their Lord. Oh, friends, I hope your heart desires God. Even the sparrow, they say, has found a home, and a swallow a nest for herself. They looked and they saw these, what we would call pigeon-type birds, and they nested in every little crook and cranny they could of the temple. God's holy house was a preservation for these weak and invaluable little birds. And the sons of Korah would stand outside the temple, or they'd walk around the streets there in Jerusalem, and they'd see the baby birds with their little heads chirping from out of the nests. And there the mother would come to feed them, and they'd say, Oh, that I could make my nest in the house of God, and that I might bring up my young ones in a place where the presence of God is strong and thick. Mom, do you love that baby enough that you would build a nest in the house of God for it? Daddy, does that little boy mean enough to you that when he looks up to you and he sees the way you're acting, that you want him to emulate a man of God or a man of the world? Are those children important enough to you that you would see their souls be saved? They'll not be saved without exposure to the gospel. Christ draws men through the gospel message. The gospel message is the presence of God. Then he goes on to talk about those on the pilgrimage. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Can I tell you that the Bible translators have a hard time with that word blessed? It's got a lot of different nuances to it. It's got a lot of different connotations that could be taken. And it can mean happy. It can mean content. But it also means so much more than that. It's almost as if God Himself has put a hedge or an ability within a man to be satisfied in who God is. Those that have their hearts set on pilgrimage. Now, it's speaking about the people in the days they lived. Not every Jewish man lived in Jerusalem. They lived many miles away throughout all of Israel. And there they would come at a certain time of year unto Jerusalem in order to worship at the Passover. Sometimes they had to travel a long distance in order to do that. Some of them faced a great wilderness before them. Now, their wilderness is not like ours. I grew up in Letcher County in eastern Kentucky. And when I think about wilderness, I think about our deciduous trees and the forest that I know, the hardwood forest. But friends, in that day when the Bible talks about wilderness, it's talking about a barren place, a desert place, a place of rocks and sand and not much else. A lot of sun, a lot of heat bearing down on the people, and it was a hard place to get through, an arid place, a parched place, a place without much refreshment whatsoever. That valley of Baca that we read of in verse 6, that could literally mean they've got their hearts set on a pilgrimage through the valley of weeping. Through the valley of weeping. Let me ask you something this morning, friend. Are you passing through a valley of weeping? If not, you're about to experience one, especially if you're walking alongside the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if they hated me, it shouldn't shock you that they hate you also. And these things that Christ had to go through, shouldn't we also have to go through? Is the servant really going to be greater than the master? I say unto you, no! That you and I also must pass through the valley of weeping. But I want you to notice something about these individuals whose hearts are set on that pilgrimage through that valley of weeping. First of all, it says they make it a spring. They make it a spring. So that tells me that as they were passing along, they knew that in the years to come, there would be others who would also make this pilgrimage. And so that when they stopped, they would dig a well. Amen. They would dig a well. And they would make a place of refreshing for one they knew was passing on after them. And I want to ask you, is your life digging a well for someone who might come after you. Listen to me, Southern Baptist, listen to me, non-denominational, whatever it is you may call yourself. I don't matter what kind of plaque you hang on the church. If it's a church that preaches the Lord Jesus Christ, we're all the same body. And I'm telling you right now, it is your job. It's important. It's imperative. If we go one generation, if we allow one generation to skip without upholding the good things of God, without glorifying God, without magnifying Jesus, then the next generation will be lost and undone. And unless Josiah's time, they found the book of the Deuteronomy and it caused a great revival, unless we see another miracle like that, I'm beginning to worry. Listen to me, many of us today, we're living in the shade of the great spiritual force that were planted by our forefathers, and we benefited from the fact that men like Jonathan Edwards and George Whitfield and these great pillars of God, these men who the world was undeserving to have their light to pass through it, these men left us some great spiritual giants. I'm telling you today that we've fallen short, and there's not many planters left. There's not many men and women out there who are willing to plant this forest that our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren might rest under the shade. Oh, friends, listen to me. They make it a spring, a place of refreshing, so that some little one passing along later might find rest where granddaddy did. They might find rest where mamma found it. Plant those trees. Dig those wells. But you notice something else. The end of verse 6 says that the rain also covers it with pools. Ah, me. Who is it that sends the rain, friends? It's God. God sends the rain. Salvation is a work of God. The ability of us to be able to come near unto God is a gift of God. You did not desire God. You did not hold Him in any esteem. You blasphemed His name. You were unholy. You were ungodly. You were totally undone. And God, in His sovereignty and in His power, chose you and predestined you that you might be able to say, I've been adopted by the King. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Verse 9, O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. And listen, what a praise in verse 10. If you're able to, highlight this in your Bible. Underline this, mark this. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. Than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Now, you know what? We think that's not too bad. That's not too bad of a job. I'll be a doorkeeper in the house of God. And I'll wear a white shirt and a black suit. And I'll open the door as they come in, nod my head and greet them. Oh, no. Oh, no. You see, friends, when the Bible talked about a doorkeeper in those times, it was an individual who was a slave. And as people would come into the place, the slave would fall to their knees and wash the dirty feet of the men and women that entered. I'd rather wash the feet of those that enter the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. Friends, I wouldn't take anything from my journey now. We've come too far. Our God has carried us. And we'll give Him the glory. Verse 11 says, for the Lord God is a sun. In other words, it's provision that the sunlight causes growth. The sunlight causes us to be able to admire things. It keeps us out of the darkness. We cannot live without the provision of the sun. And therefore, we cannot live without provision of the sunlight. And a shield. God's protection. God's protection. Here's another way of saying it. The Lord will give grace and glory. Grace and glory. It is imperative we have the right definition of no good thing will He withhold. You see, dear friends, the only good thing Jesus said is the Father. No man in all of the boundaries of hell, no man will ever be able to say, I tried to love God, and he wouldn't let me. That is impossible. That will never, ever be true. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. So I guess my whole challenge to you today, friend, if you're a Christian, are you trusting in God? If you feel as if the Holy Spirit is drawing you right now, I want to tell you that you can place your trust in God. And I want to end with this statement. If you're looking for peace in your life, if you're looking for calmness in the storm, then first of all, peace with God must come before peace in God. You cannot have the peace of God till you make peace with God. And the only way to make peace with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you feel like God is calling you, you just simply find a place where you can pray, and you call upon God's name, and He'll show you what to pray and what to ask for. He'll lead you into the path of righteousness. And then you got to get up and you got to go tell somebody. Admit your sin to God. Believe that Jesus is God's Son. Repent from your sin. Turn away from it and confess it before men, that they may know that you're a child of the King. Friend, God bless you. God bless you. Will you pray with me? Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, I just want to thank you for being my protection and my provision. I want to thank you, dear Father God, for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to be the total propitiation for my sins, and that He left nothing undone that men might be saved today. Father, I pray that we might get a right understanding of how it is that we glorify God, and that the good news today is that God has come to have a relationship with man. The enmity has been done away with, and we find peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray together. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rowlett's Baptist Church.